Found out during the break that Daryl has takes on fan practices at sporting events.
Oh yeah,
I guess some of the promotional stuff that goes on during games too. So we'll get into it.
The president derailed my show yesterday. I had big plans for the Sunday show with Nick Pedone, and the president derailed it.
Send him a message on Truth.
Yeah, you should hit him up.
Hey, I was hoping the president was going to call in. He was so passionate about it.
Hey, like, listen, I think
I would have taken his call. Would have treated him with respect. Given, let him say his piece.
I think there's a common ground here, honestly, with this whole thing. If Trump wants them to change their name back to Indians, I think the Dolans should find a way to leverage, like, hey, give us a tax break or help us out a little bit.
They just got a ballpark renovation.
Inject some money into the organization, and then I think we all get what we want. The fans will get the name back.
A catcher that can hit.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Like, a right fielder, a second baseman, a shortstop that doesn't have
a wrist sprain.
If he can help make these things happen, the fans get everything they want. They get the name back, and they get a team that can maybe win a World Series. I mean, it's a win-win.
Here's the problem. The president might keep the trophy if they go to visit the White House.
That is true. He did take credit for the Red Sox win streak after they visited the White House. So, 216-474-992. Browns training camp. 2 days away, Daryl. Is the excitement palpable within you? Can you not wait to be out there in Berea? As you laugh,
I'm going to get my sunscreen today.
You're not excited about this quarterback competition?
No, I'm not. I really am not, because
you've seen a lot of them over the years. So
yeah,
I get that.
I've never seen a four man. So listen,
hey, you think you've seen it all, and then the Browns give you a four man competition.
This is both the blessing and the curse of covering the Cleveland Browns. Okay, is you get to see stuff that you've never seen before, and you hope to never see again.
That offense last year,
and so. Here's why I'm not excited about the four-man quarterback competition. Number one, I don't believe it's a four-man quarterback competition.
Okay.
But to be factually accurate in communicating to their fans, I have to continue to say that it is. And then also, too, I don't see a long-term solution here. I feel like it's a four-man quarterback competition for the Band-Aid. You know, we're not competing for the franchise guy here. It's just to get through the 17-game schedule or get through the first six games and then reassess when you get back from London or something like that. I'm not excited about it. I don't think that it's going to be what everyone is expecting it to be, just based on how they have worked it so far.
You think they're sort of setting it up for a certain outcome?
Yeah, I do.
I don't want to say rigging it, but I think it is kind of they're playing it a certain way where
I think they have an outcome in their mind.
Yeah.
And so, but they're going to give everybody an equal opportunity. I'm not going to say that they're rigging it or they're tilting the scales, but like,
I mean, I
feel like they're going to put guys in position to just like validate or
how they
give
how they
them
view.
The, hey, let's not do this because it's not going to work. Like, I don't feel like this is a true, honest-to-goodness four-man competition, especially because I don't think you can do a true, honest-to-goodness four-man competition. Because what they did, and you saw it too, Spencer, being out there in Berea, during OTAs and during minicamp, they put the veteran quarterbacks on one field. They put the rookies on another field.
Yeah.
And the veterans got to work with the top of the roster personnel, and the rookies got to work with the bottom half of the roster personnel. And I don't know how you can equally, properly, however you want to describe it, evaluate and grade those results.
Well, especially when like the game changes at training camp. You go from, hey, we're installing things, we're getting guys acclimated.
It's ramp up
period.
This
is now we're getting ready for a season. I'm with you. Like, I I'm not going to use the word rigged. I don't think it's rigged, but I do think they are sort of, they're going to manage this a certain way where they, I think, get the outcome, or maybe there's two outcomes that they view as more likely, and they're going to sort of lean into those. And what I mean by that is, like, I think we all feel pretty comfortable saying that we think one of the veterans is going to start week one. I think they're going to set it up for those guys to get most of those reps. And then when the other guys don't, when the rookies don't, or the rookies, like, you see them here or there, and they maybe look good, they'll just give you the answer of, like, well, there wasn't enough reps to go around, so we didn't get a chance to evaluate those guys fully, and they're going to get more time. Like, they can play it off as something. But I do think that's where it's headed. Now, but along those lines, Daryl, like, because I do think people also have the same thought we have on this competition. I think they view it as, hey, they're already kind of setting it up for the veterans to be the guys who maybe win the job. I think that makes this even more polarizing to some degree for fans and even more controversial for fans because everybody seems to have their stance on who they like best or who they want to see win the job. Is there an outcome, Daryl, that appeases everybody or makes everybody feel like, hey, I can live with this. I'm happy with it. We can start the season with this guy and I'm good with it. Or is it just going to be divisive no matter what?
It's going to be divisive no matter what. look, there's a case to be made that they will keep. First of all, eventually they got to vote somebody off the island. Okay. You're not going through 17 games with four quarterbacks. Now, the question will be, will they maintain the four quarterbacks through the initial 53, then jettison one the following day on Wednesday after, because everyone in the NFL has called your bluff about keeping all four quarterbacks, right? And really, there's nothing to be gained by keeping or trying to keep an extra linebacker, a safety. You know what I mean? Like, that 53rd spot. Like, it's not the it's not completely the end of the world if they keep all four of these quarterbacks out of the gate. But again, they're going to have to make a move and get down to three. You're not getting any of these guys through waivers, okay? So you can't even do that. Here's the other part of this, though, that people need to understand when it comes to these rookies. And this isn't me taking a shot at Dylan Gabriel. This isn't me taking a shot at Shedeur Sanders. But I have to stress, as I remind you, Dylan Gabriel's a third-round pick. Shedeur Sanders is a fifth-round pick.
Don't tell some people that.
Okay? In no universe should either one of them start week one of an NFL season as a third or a fifth-round pick. Now, if one of those guys was a first-round pick, or I will even grant you a second-round pick, then I can legitimately say, yeah, that guy should be competing for the starting job and should be close to being able to contribute.
You invested a higher pick in him. It makes sense, yeah.
Dylan Gabriel, taking him in the third round, that's a project. Shedeur Sanders was what the heck. He's still available. Let's get our buddies in Philadelphia on the phone. We're good with this draft. Let's give them the rest of our picks. Why not? Let's just take Shedeur and see if we strike lightning in a bottle. They had no intention of drafting Shedeur Sanders initially until day three when he was still on the board in the fifth round. So, like, for fans that are itching for Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders to start, like, slow the roll. I get it because Browns fans are eternally optimistic and nothing gets them more excited than potential.
Yeah.
Because potential always trumps reality here in Cleveland or the present, okay? It always does. The only thing that organization has to sell to its fans are stadiums, uniforms, and potential. That's it. They don't sell winning because they don't win with consistency. You get a winning season once a decade. Okay, well, to be fair to this regime, you get two winning seasons in 5 years, right? But the other 3 years were complete disasters. So, like, I get fans who want to cling to Dylan Gabriel could be the hope, or Shedeur Sanders could be the hope.
Yeah.
I get that. But, like, let's take an emotional step back and be realistic about the situation. These are third and fifth round picks. It's not fair. It's not realistic to expect either one of these kids to win this competition. If they do, God bless them.
Yeah.
Best of luck. Great for you and all the good things there, right? But, like, let's just be realistic about this. You're talking about third and fifth round picks, not first or second round picks. All right. And if one of these kids, I think Shedeur Sanders has a better chance of turning into a franchise quarterback than Dylan Gabriel does. All right. When I'm watching practice and there's plays and the only way I know where Dylan Gabriel is on the field is because I see the lineman moving to the left or to the right. That's not good. Okay. You know, Drew Breeses don't grow on trees. Like, let's just be honest. And I hope that Dylan Gabriel is the next Drew Brees. I hope Shedeur Sanders is the next your favorite mobile quarterback here, right? it's not that I'm rooting against them. It's not that I don't believe in them. It's just I'm trying to be very pragmatic and realistic about the situation. These are third and fifth round picks. They traded for Kenny Pickett. They gave up nothing to get him, but they're clearly intrigued by him and feel that they can fix whatever is broken with him, right? Joe Flacco, we know how fans feel about him here because what he did in 2023. But again, no disrespect to Joe. He's over 40 years old.
So
if he wins the competition, he's a Band-Aid too because he's not a long-term solution.
Yeah, which honestly might be what they're hoping for anyways, just a Band-Aid to get to next year and then draft their real franchise
quarterback. No long-term solutions available to me. Well, no excitement.
Darryl, I think you laid out nicely like the outlook of the entire room, where the team's heads are kind of at with it, what we should sort of expect in that regard. What I will say to answer my original question, we will ask John Doss about this here in about 7 minutes or so on The Fan. I think the answer that appeases the most people, I think, is Joe Flacco. And I think a lot of it just has to do with like what he did in 2023. We know how the fan base largely feels about him. Yes, he's a Band-Aid, but he's easy to kind of, you know him, you've seen him, you like him for the most part. He's easy to digest. I think everybody else is controversial for some reason. Kenny Pickett, people think he's no good. He played for the Steelers. The rookies, people don't like Dylan Gabriel because they don't think he's going to be very good because of his stature. People don't like Shador Sanders because they think he's too cocky. Whatever the reasons might be, if there's an answer to this question of who appeases everybody, who wins this competition, I think Flacco's the closest to it. But even that'll be controversial because there'll still be people who are like, they shouldn't even waste their time starting Flacco. They should start Shador Sanders.
He gets a 6 to 7 week runway, too. If he wins the job and it's Joe Flacco, it's like you got the first 6 and 7 games, and then we get to reevaluate where we are.
Is there a quarterback outcome that appeases everyone that isn't going to be divisive?